Grace and peace to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to talk about the Old Testament reading today, Habakkuk 1 and 2. Let us pray as we consider the Word of God. Lord, may our hearts, may our minds be fertile, good soil for your Word. Plant your Word deep within us. Cause it to grow and increase our faith, our love, our understanding. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me begin today with a bit of a challenge question, although it really shouldn't be. Can you name for me the 12 minor prophets of the Old Testament? They're the guys at the end of the Old Testament. We often don't talk a lot about them. There are 12 of them. Can you name them? Pat, you're trying to hide behind Liz. Not a good idea. I'll begin. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Very good. A few more questions on minor. They're called minor not because they're not important, but because they're a smaller book than the major prophets. Which minor prophet tells us that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem? It's coming up here, Christmas. That would be Micah. It's the prophet Micah. Which minor prophet says that Jesus would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey? It's prophesied. That is Zechariah. Palm Sunday is coming up. I'll give you an easy one. Which minor prophet was swallowed by the great fish and went to Nineveh? His name is Jonah. You got that one. And finally, which minor prophet, see if you've been listening at all today, which minor prophet gives us the incredible words of Scripture, really a summary of the whole Bible, the righteous shall live by faith. Who is that guy? Very good. That's our Old Testament reading. I gave you another one. Habakkuk. Just a few chapters. I think it's the only time of the whole church here for 3 years we ever read from Habakkuk is today in our three-year lectionary. Live by faith. I want to talk about faith today. And the difficulty of faith in today's world. Don't think, well, Pastor, I have faith. I believe. Let's move on to something else. There's not a something else other than faith in Christ. That's it. Keeping the faith. Guarding the good deposit, as Paul says to Timothy, has been given to you. Faith. Three things about faith I want to talk about that make it hard and difficult, make it impossible. That's why the Spirit must give us faith. We don't create it ourselves. And the Spirit keeps us in the faith by gathering here for the Word and the Sacrament. Let's look at Habakkuk's time and the difficulty that he had living by faith. First of all, we are to live by faith even though we may see evil all around us. Live by faith, God. Trust me. And trust that I'm a good, gracious God, even though with these eyes and by your experience, you just see and experience nothing but evil around you. That's a challenge. That's hard. That's Habakkuk's day. Habakkuk lived around 600 BC. If you know your Old Testament history a bit, this is a terrible time for God's people. He probably lives there in the Jerusalem area, the holy city. It wasn't a holy city at this time. It was very unholy. There was great idolatry in Jerusalem, idols everywhere, very immoral living, much injustice. Sounds kind of like America, doesn't it? And that was Jerusalem. Very evil, very idolatrous. There were even idols in the temple. If you recall, under David and Solomon around 900 BC, there weren't many idols. There was sin, but David and Solomon brings idolatry at the end of his career. But things are going well. After Solomon, a divided kingdom, north and south, they both fall into great idolatry, and the north is conquered 721 BC by Assyria, and the south, with Jerusalem in it, will be conquered 586 BC. Habakkuk lives when Babylon is threatening, and the judgment of God is coming, a very evil world. And God says to him, you live by faith. You see evil all around you. Trust me. In my goodness and my grace that I am God. Even though you don't see it, believe it. I've said several times from this pulpit, and I'll say it again here, because it's very important. We never determine whether God loves us or not by our circumstances. We never determine whether God loves us or not by our circumstances, the circumstances of our world. If so, then we're a yo-yo. If so, then when life is good, I'm healthy, I'm wealthy, I have a job, things are going good, my football team wins, they actually win a game that counts, everything's going good, God must love me, God must love Knoxville, God must love UT, God loves us because everything's going so good, I'm healthy, wealthy, my kids are doing great. But then when things go bad, and there's a church bus tragedy, and the bad doctor's report, and the job isn't so good, and there's evil all around. There's all sorts of terrible stuff happening out there. Terrorism. They seem like they're winning out there. Then, God must not love me. God's against me. And today he's with me. Tomorrow he's not. I'm a yo-yo. Now he loves me. Now he doesn't. We don't live by sight. God does not say to Habakkuk, the righteous live by sight. He says they live by faith. You trust me, even though there's evil all around, and you don't see good. We determine whether God loves us not by circumstances, but by a cross. And the cross is always there. And the cross says whether I'm sick or well, God loves me. Whether I'm dying or living, God loves me. Whether there's evil all around me or good all around me, God loves me. Whether there's terrorists or not, God loves me. Whether there's tragedy or not, God loves me. God loves me, God forgives me. We base our faith in a cross, not circumstances. And so we're not a yo-yo up and down. Rather, we're a go-go. We go and tell the good news. We go live a holy life for our God with faith and boldness, even in an evil world. Out there, there's gridlock in Washington again. And here, there's no gridlock. God isn't battling with himself. Am I going to forgive First Lutheran or not? There is grace upon grace, and that's the good news. Out there, much fighting and war. And here, the peace that passes all understanding as we gather under the cross. Out there, there's death. And here, there is the life that never ends, the life of Christ and the life of the Holy Spirit. And how we praise our God. Did you go get your smoky gray jersey, Greg? Not even for your kids? No? Working the game yesterday, a lot of smoky gray jerseys, and they're almost a good luck charm. We'd wear them again against South Carolina, wouldn't we? Almost. You know, we just try anything. A new jersey, that'll do it. Try anything to try to turn a bad situation into something good. Good luck charm. Make money. Just do something. Smoky gray jerseys. What's next? I don't know. What does God do about evil? God doesn't go to good luck charms. God doesn't mess around with evil. There's no hype. There's no show with God. God comes to earth and God dies on a cross for 6 hours. God sheds blood. Blood's the color of God. God takes evil upon himself, into himself, rises again on Easter and triumphs over all of it. That's what God does about it. No hype, no gimmicks, no games. Forgiveness and grace. The righteous live by faith. Secondly, we are called to live by faith. Even though at times, many times, we may not feel so close to God. Habakkuk, in his life, probably doesn't feel so close to God. When he leaves the temple, he's probably not on a spiritual high. He's discouraged. He's down. He's angry. We call him the complaining prophet because he complains to God. He's upset with God. He doesn't feel so good about God. There are two questions Habakkuk asks. We ask the same things. Number one, he's living in wicked Jerusalem. And he asks God, as you have in your text, God, how long are you going to put with evil? There's evil all over the place. Why don't you do something about it, God? Even your own holy city in Jerusalem, even the temple that Solomon built, it's all evil now. Do something, God. Why aren't you doing something about it? God gives him an answer. The book of Habakkuk's a kind of a conversation between God and Habakkuk. And we get in on the conversation. And God says, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to bring Babylon, and Babylon's going to come and destroy Jerusalem. Punishment's coming for their idolatry. Babylon's on its way. And then this really troubles Habakkuk. And he says, well, why in the world are you going to bring this unrighteous pagan nation called Babylon to attack us when at least we have a few of us that believe? Why an unrighteous nation attacking a righteous nation? What kind of God are you? Doesn't feel so good about God. And there are times we gather, we don't always feel so wonderful about God. and so close to God. And we can leave church that way. It's interesting, God does not send angels to sing to Habakkuk and lift his spirits. God doesn't do some fireworks show for him. Oh, here, I'll show you all this wonderful stuff. Let's uplift your spirits. God doesn't really give him some fantastic dream or vision of something. God just gives him his word. And the summary of that word is, live by faith. Hold on to my word. Even when you don't feel close to me, hold on to my word and live by faith that I'm a good, gracious God who forgives sins and saves sinners. Hold on to that word, even though you don't feel like it. What matters, friends, and this is important because we Americans, we just want to feel good about God all the time. And we'll try every gimmick and manipulation to try to have some spiritual high. This is what's important. What's important is not how you feel about God. Let me repeat that. What's really important in your relationship with God is not how you feel about God. What's always important is how God feels about you. And God's feelings don't change. God always loves you. God is always with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. He does not count your sins against you. He remembers your sins no more for the sake of Jesus. That's how God feels 24/7, 365, your entire life on into eternity, because he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. How God feels about you and he loves you, that's what matters. Hold on to that word of absolution, even though you're down. And eat the body and drink the blood for forgiveness, even though it may not give you some kind of an emotional high as you leave church. Hold on to the sacrament. Hold on to the word of God. The righteous live by faith. I recall when my kids were younger, the battle of car seats. William, car seats. Do kids like car seats? Bartholomew, do kids like car seats? And you had your kid in the car seat, and they were stuck in that car seat. Although I cheated a little bit. I know it's bad, and you should not do that. But grabbed the kid out of there because I couldn't take it anymore. But your kid's angry. Your kid's upset, screaming bloody murder. I went out of this car seat. I can't stand this car seat. And what do you do as a parent? You're the one that has perspective. You have control, don't you? And you know what matters is not that your kid's yelling and screaming his head off. Probably hates your guts at the time. What matters is that you're a loving father and mother. And you love your child. You're doing what is best for your child, and you will get your child out in due time. They won't be stuck forever. And you might even reach back and pat your child on, hey, it's okay, Johnny, Susie, it's okay, it's okay, settle down, it's okay. You're okay, I'm here. What matters is that your kid's screaming and yelling, but you're there. And you love that child. They'll understand it later when they grow up. Habakkuk is stuck in Jerusalem in an evil world. We may feel like we're stuck in America, an evil world. We're stuck in a disease. We're stuck in some relationship. We're just stuck in some job. We're just stuck in a car seat. I'm mad, God. I'm angry. I don't feel so good about you. And God would reach his hand out and say, I'm here. You're baptized. I love you. I'm with you. I'll get you out in due time. Last of all, we are called to live by faith, even though no one else does, and we may feel all alone. Habakkuk stuck there in Jerusalem in that terrible car seat called Jerusalem. He probably feels all alone. Now, Jeremiah was a contemporary that he maybe knows. Obadiah was a contemporary. Maybe he knows him. There are other Christians, but largely he feels like he's alone. There's all these idolaters and evil people. The leaders are all evil. I feel all alone. And yet God says, you do not live by fear. This is Paul's wonderful words to Timothy. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, young man. Don't live by fear. Fan in the flame the spirit. He's not a spirit of timidity and fear, but a spirit of power. Don't you live by fear. The righteous don't live by fear in an evil world. Even when they're all alone. The righteous live by faith, confidence, boldness. So Habakkuk, preach my word and be my prophet. Because I am with you, and that's what counts. I will never leave you or forsake you, and that's what counts. You have someone on your side called God. What else do you need? And kids, you may be in junior high or high school and feel like you're all alone. And the other kids sin, and they don't care about God. They use his name in vain. You may be in college and feel the same way. Where's all the Christians around here? These people just live evil lives and feel all alone. You may be in your workplace and feel all alone. It's one reason why we need the church, to know we're not alone because we have brothers and sisters. We persevere in the faith. We hold on to the word of God. Live by faith. Trust me, God says. So we're not cowards, we're courageous. We proclaim and confess Christ. We don't compromise, we confess. You know, I had a birthday on Tuesday, and all the school children came into the meeting room. It was very nice, and all the kids came in, and they sang, "Happy birthday, dear pastor." But all the kids smiling, "Happy birthday, dear pastor," chocolate all over the place for pastor. But there were a few teachers, I don't know if my wife was in on this or not, but a few teachers under their breath sang, "Happy birthday, old man." And I heard it. Well, the point is, it's the truth. How can I rebuke that? It's the truth. I am an old man. But I've always said, hey, sing that a little louder. Don't be shy. Don't be a coward. Sing it out loud. Let's all say it together. Happy birthday, old man. There you have your way with the pastor today. Speak the truth. Even if it's not popular, it's okay. We want to confess to the world that even though we are old by the exterior, we are new in here. I'm a four-year-old boy in here with the joy of the crucified, risen Lord. We are a new creation in Christ. Our sins are forgiven. We have the resurrection of our bodies. We are renewed by the Holy Spirit every day in the forgiveness of sins. We are the children of God. That's what we confess, that we are new people in Christ, who's the new man, the new Adam, our Savior, our Lord. Don't be shy. Don't be scared. Confess it and live it. So we join the disciples today. Faith is hard. We pray with the disciples. Increase our faith, say with me. Increase our faith. One more time. Increase our faith. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us rise. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray.